5-3, runners on the corners, two out, bottom of six. Mike Yastrzemski up against knuckleballer Matt Waldron. Fun fact, good knuckleball. Right now, before we get to Tom Allen, we're going to talk some Senior League World Series. Jerry Sneed is going to join us. Talk about an event that's always big in the upstate right here in Easley coming up next week. Jerry, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Qual?
I'm doing fantastic. This is a great event. Always love having it in Easley. For folks who are new or may not know, the history of this event goes back decades now in this area, J.B. Red Owens, and it's been a great area for it.
Yes, that is correct. Used to, several years ago when it first started, it was called the Big League World Series, and then a few years back, it was in that, well, with the Big League World Series, that was the, I think, the 17 to 19-year-olds. And now it is the Senior League World Series, which is through Little League International, and that is the ages of 13 through 16.
And this mirrors, for folks who may not know, it mirrors the Little League World Series. ESPN is a part of this, so this is a big deal. And as we've talked about in the past, I know tickets are available, and this is a big event for commerce and tourism, bringing a lot of people to the area.
Yes, it does. Yes, tickets are available. They can be purchased. I'm fairly sure they can be purchased online, and then, of course, at the gate every night. There's different promotions going on through the week. There's a first responders night. There's some other ones. All that should be on the website. But, Qualk, it's just an exciting, exciting week. You can't words can't describe it. This event is just something that it's just special. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's, if you love baseball and you want good entertainment, this is the event to come to.
Some of our partners here are supporters of this, and it does involve everybody in the local community. South Carolina has a team, so there's a rooting interest. And the rest of the competition, it's international. I'm looking right now at the schedules. Like today even, there are games to decide some of the region championships in Canada and certain areas of this country. Yep. So the bracket's still not set. There's a lot of baseball still to be played.
Yes, that is correct. The time frame is crunched up pretty good with the regionals. You're right, with the regionals, I know Irmo, I think they won the South Carolina State, so they had to travel to Florida for the Southeast Regionals, and then those things, they'll finish, the regionals all finish up later this week, and those teams will be flying in to Easley first part of next week, because all the teams will be checking in, I think, somewhere around the 28th, 29th of July. And then, the tournament kicks off on Saturday.
Saturday, August 1st. Cannot wait. It's always great here in the area. And then the championship is Saturday, August 8th. So 1 week from then, we'll decide this thing. Jerry, thank you very much. Anything else we need to know? Tickets on the website and at the gate, correct?
Yep. I encourage everybody to come out and support this event. You have six teams from U.S. and then six teams from the international. And again, I just can't. This is my fourth year volunteering, and I come from 50 miles away. So it's a special event. I promise you, you won't be disappointed.
We never are. We never are. It's a great event. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And, Jerry, hope this thing goes well. We'll be watching and attending. A lot of folks I know will be there, and we're just excited to see it.
Thank you. Have a good day, friend.
All right, you too. That is Jerry Sneed with Senior League World Series. Great stuff there. Always a good time in Easley. All right, we're going to give you, this is a long interview, so we're going to give you a little bit now. Tom Allen, defensive coordinator, I sat down with him last Tuesday. some very interesting stuff. Get a notepad because you're going to want to jot some things down when you listen to this.
Tom Allen, it's great to see you again. And, boy, it's great to talk some defense. I know you're excited to talk some ball today, too.
Oh, I am. You know, you just you look at the calendar, you know where fall camp lies, and it's just such a special time of the year. It's going to be my 35th season coming up, which is amazing to think. But, man, just all the year after year after year, just so excited about the start of the year. You know, there's so much excitement that goes into it. There's so much anticipation and so much expectation and just the energy of a new season, you know, just with all that comes with that and all the hopes and dreams everybody's got, you know, that for this time of year, everybody's, you know, got the same goal. They want to be the team that's holding that trophy at the end, you know, so, but a lot of hard work goes into all that. So just, you know, you have some time away over the summer, which is always good to be with family, but man, this is, you know, when you're created to be a coach, this is an exciting time of year.
I was going to ask you, you know, 35 years is a great legacy. Does it feel like it did your first couple of years? Is it the same feeling, or does that mature as you mature?
No, man, it's still that boyhood excitement, man. That never leaves you, and that's what makes it so awesome. That's what makes it so fun to do this. And you know, I have a little bit different perspective than I did, you know, when I was in my first, second, or third year doing this. But the excitement that doesn't change, you know. But you know, and for me personally, you know, I lost my dad this summer, and he was my high school coach. He was the reason why I went into this profession, and he's my hero. And so that part was hard, but also just a lot of awesome opportunities in the last, you know, month here to even just hear from and talk to a lot of his former players, you know, the lives he impacted, you know. So, but definitely a lot of emotions with all of that, but doesn't let it be any less exciting, you know, just because, you know, this there's a reason why you do this. And, you know, I remember just the days of being a player, just being so excited for the season to start, you know, and now they train so much over the summer, sometimes you feel fall camp isn't quite what it used to be. But at the same time, man, it's the anticipation of week one, the opener. Those are always awesome, you know. And so we're just we're thrilled. It's been a great off season for us. Great amount of work put in by our staff and our players, and can't wait to see it all come to fruition on game day.
I'm certainly sorry for your loss.
I appreciate
for
that.
Your dad. What's maybe the best thing your dad taught you about being a coach?
You know, just the ability to impact a young man way bigger than win or losing a football game. You know, that's what I saw. You know, didn't just hear from him. I saw it. I heard it and I saw it. But, you know, as a young person, just seeing the players come back and talk about, man, this is who I am today as a man because of what you taught me. And I got an email just recently from one of my dad's former players, and just he's like, man, I am the man I am today. He's actually a coach. I'm a coach I am today. Everything I do was influenced by your dad on a daily basis. And that's just awesome here, because that's what is the reason why you do this. You know, I mean, yeah, we all want to win, and that's a big part of it. But, man, it's not the – if that's the only reason why you do it, your life's going to be pretty much a roller coaster, you know. So, but when you know you're helping develop future leaders, husbands, fathers, you know, the spiritual part of it was always big for me and my family, and here at Clemson as well. That was a huge part of his influence on me. But being able to know you're doing something that's going to impact a young man after he is just done playing and after he leaves this earth.
Yeah, that's very cool. And the eternal legacy, man, that's awesome. It goes beyond it.
Absolutely.
I remember last year we're sitting down, and you're still trying to put the pieces together, excited about what you have, but trying to put the pieces together.
Sure.
Fast forward to now. I mean, where is this defense? Can you possibly sort of quantify or qualify where this defense is from where you were sort of inheriting this group from a year ago?
Yeah, so you're right. A year ago, you know, we had some really individually talented guys that everybody was excited about, and I was too, you know. And so, but I was concerned about depth, you know. Like I said, I might have said it on this very day
you
a year
did.
Ago, you know. So I was concerned about that, and it proved to be a challenge, you know, and it showed up, and it usually does, just because, you know, we play a physical game. I mean, it's inevitable. Things are going to happen. You're going to need a lot of guys, you know, and the way offenses are playing now with the tempo and the number of snaps that you get, so you just need a lot of guys to even play on game day. So just I feel like we're a lot deeper you know, collectively as a group. So that excites me. You know, the competition is way more, you know, across the board than it was a year ago. I think we had some, you know, individual positions, like a linebacker. We basically just played two guys, you know. And so that's – I knew that wasn't going to be a formula for, you know, ultimate – success that I was looking for, because I knew it's going to take more guys than that, you know, and safety and a corner, and we just didn't have the depth, you know. And so to me, you know, the defensive line, same thing. And so I just think, to me, you know, to be collectively better, you know, I see that, you know, and I see the guys we've added, you know, whether it's out of the portal or out of high school that fit a little bit, maybe better in some ways on certain body types and things, but just being able to have waves of guys. You know, that's kind of how I envision our defense. Just bringing in waves of guys that can just no matter who's on that field, you know, that there's an intensity and a passion and a fire and how we run to the football and the takeaways and the tackles and the effort piece to me. And you can have all those things together and just being elite at all three of those things. And so I just see us, you know, we got to take another step. You know, we do. We got to be able to finish out certain situations, where it's drives, better in the red zone, you know, finishing out games, you know, being tougher mentally and physically, you know, all those kind of things to me are what I'm looking for. And I see as the next step for us defensively. And to me, you know, we kind of saw all those things in the spring, you know, and so, and be able to increase our amount of TFLs, you know, sacks, and just the negative plays that you create, and trying to make some adjustments and some things we're doing to allow that, whether it's physically, you know, the body types, or just structurally with some scheme things. And so just trying to find ways to get better, you know, and allow this defense to be the reason why we're special as a team.
What's interesting, you're talking a lot about disruption. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that you talked a lot about last year is stopping the run.
Yeah.
You know, that was point one. You really did that for a lot of the year.
Yeah,
but I know you were displeased with the disruptions. So how do you maintain what you did against the run while adding the disruptive elements you're talking about?
Yeah, and that's – is going to be necessary, you know. I mean, to me, because the stop of the run, to me, that's like just base level. Like you got to stop the run, you know. And so that was a big emphasis, because it was an issue before, you know. So obviously, it's not a priority, you know. It's because we're doing better there. That has to stay. We got to continue to do that. And so to answer your question, it's like there's just some things we got to be able to do, you know, schematically. You know, so we made some adjustments to try and help us create some more negative plays, you know, so made some changes, made some additions, take some things away, and to be able to focus on some other different, obviously not going to give that away here on the line, but at the same time, you're doing things that are allow you to be able to, you know, be sound against the run, and then create, you know, the knockback and the negative plays is going to put us in a more advantageous position on third down. Because, you know, mass what it is. I mean, third and short is totally stacked in favor of the offense. You know, it's hard to get off the field in third and short. You know, third and long, you better be, you know, it's really hard on the offense to be successful, you know. So we want to get in those third and seven plus position. When we do that, we are really, really good, you know. And so, but that's how defenses should be, right? And so, but how do you get there? Well, you get there by stopping the run and then getting knocked back, you know. And so we're trying to create more of that, and so that's going to be a big focus for this team.
You're an old-school coach. You want to just get in the dirt and develop players.
That's right.
Even when you remake a room, like your defensive backfield, your safeties, and some of the guys you brought in at corner, there's also a message to the guys that remain, right? The Ashton
Absolutely.
Hamptons and some of those guys, the Corey and Gibsons. So what has that been like to remake the personnel and the body types in the secondary while also continuing to pour into the guys that were here?
Well, first of all, you know, you meet with those guys individually, you know, and you challenge them. You say, hey, you know, this is where we were, okay, and this is where I want us to be, and this is what I expect you to be, you know, and how do we get there, you know. And so, and to me, and you just find all different ways based on their personality, their strengths, their weaknesses, how you address that, how you challenge them individually, how do you get them to make the changes that need to be made for them to be the guys that are a part of this. Because it's been also this, you bring in those other guys, and it does send a message. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I'm not bringing in a guy out of high school that's going to need some couple years to get this figured out. We're bringing in a guy to come in that can beat you out, you know. And I think that's critical. And I think that'll create an edge, you know, and because there's nothing like competition. I mean, you can, you know, I can talk to him blue in the face, but if a guy knows that there's nobody behind me, it is not the same. But when a guy knows that if I'm not on my game every single day and that guy behind me can take my job, that's going to affect the way I approach every single day. And so, you know, it's just always been that way. That's just the nature of sports, you know. I think we all know that. The you know, Bobby Knight made it clear years ago, the power of the bench, you know, and how, you know, the idea of let the guy, because if a guy beats me out, then I'm going to the bench, right? And so, but at the same time, you know, they also got to know, man, I believe in you. Okay, and I believe what you can become, but you got to be willing to do the things on a daily basis consistently, those habitual things you got to do, whatever that might be, to be able to take your game from here up to here. And so that was my challenge to Ashton, and he's accepted that challenge. I mean, he's done a phenomenal job. We talked about him yesterday in our staff meeting about his verbal leadership and his approach every single day. That's been awesome to see. And a guy like Corey Gibson, man, he is really busted his tail this whole offseason and changing his body and continuing to get better and learning the defense better and playing with more confidence in his technique and man technique, zone technique, eyes and strength. So all those things combined, you know, to me, to allow him to be able to say, okay, and he could bring a guy like Diamond Starr that's here that has tremendous talent, you know, and great speed. And so those guys make that guy. And you got the two safeties we brought in that they come in, the guys on the defensive line and the guys that got defensive end. And so just bringing guys in that make everybody know, man, I better show up every single day, bringing my very best, or I'm not going to be playing.
I love that perspective. Visit with Tom Allen, defensive coordinator of the Tigers.
Before we get a break, we've got more Tom Allen on the other side. I need to tell you about Dolly's Roofing. The Dolly difference is in the materials. It's in the quality of what your roof is made with. And they're never going to cut corners. They're never going to cheat you in that regard. The Dolly difference is also in the expertise and the types of people that are on your job, well-trained and well-equipped to be able to do a really good job. They're very good at their customer satisfaction. Their turnaround times are incredibly good. And they're working on some complicated projects now, like on the lake and Highway 11 and even in Anderson, up in Cashers and Highlands. I mean, they're doing a lot of big-time homes. And they do it well, and they do it quickly, which is great. Then the third thing is that warranty, man, the 50-year warranty through the manufacturer that solidifies their standing that a Dolly's roof is different. Dolly'sRoofing.com. That's Dolly'sRoofing.com.
Summer is peak season, and every minute counts. Landscaper Supply keeps your crews moving with fast access to materials, parts, and equipment across 8 locations in South Carolina.
We wrap up the show with drama. Drama.
Oh, brother.
Two strikes on Jake Cronenworth, the 9 batter. Oppo base hit to left. First pitch of Fernando Tatis, oppo base hit to right. And now the tying run for the Padres is on second base with 2 outs.
Top of the 9th. Here we go. Quack, I got to share this with you.
Okay.
We have some local breaking news that has been – we have the conclusion of this. I'll tell you what that is in a moment. A little while ago, my wife sends me a text and says she was downtown Greenville doing some things, and she sends me a text, hey, there's an animal that's escaped from the Greenville Zoo. This is all true.
Yes.
There's an animal that's escaped from the Greenville Zoo. To which I reply, what animal is it? Well, they didn't release that information at the time. I immediately felt the need to tell my wife, to text my wife, don't go looking for the animal. To which she replies, what if it's in the cat family?
Oh, boy.
Definitely. Do not go looking. My wife loves cats, okay?
For sure not.
Definitely do not. I know her well enough, been married over 30 years, know her well enough to tell her to feel the need, don't go looking for the animal. It was a leopard. The leopard has been captured. The leopard stayed on zoo grounds. They saw it, tranquilized it. It's been returned to its habitat. And they said the public was never in danger, to which I say, bull crap.
Yeah, that's right. If you don't know where it is, they'll tell me I'm not in danger.
You don't have police surrounding the Greenville Zoo unless you don't have it in a cage.
Folks,
if the public's not in danger. Also, my wife would have looked for said leopard and probably... tamed it.
Everyone move over there. No one's in danger, but you have to leave now. No one's in danger. Oh. Urgency, but no danger.
But the leopard is, everything is fine, thank goodness.
They had to tranquilize, I'm looking now, they had to tranquilize the animal twice. Then I was in danger. If they had to tranquilize the animal twice, I was, look, I don't, like, you could tell me all that you wanted, but if nobody was in danger, you would have tranquilized the animal once, and that would have been enough.
Zoos have great safety protocols when something happens to at least contain it on the property, but it's still a wild animal. And this is a wild animal that runs a lot faster than you.
How many people...
And can climb. I mean, there's nothing that's foolproof.
How many people fired today? One, two...
The manufacturer of the latch on the door.
I mean, how are we doing that?
Did you see the... I don't know how recent it was. I saw a clip yesterday of like a Bengal tiger, like a tiger... that they're cleaning the hallway of the cages and the door comes open. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
And the caretaker, you know, had a water hose and at first thought she was going to squirt this tiger. She retreated and thankfully went into another open cage.
Oof.
But oh man, I thought I was about to watch something horrible.
Do you think they freak out? Like, how many days do you think that happens? Where they're like, oh, you know, try to escape again.
They probably do, because you do that same thing every day. And I would imagine you forget that that's an animal that wants to kill you. You know, I mean, it would be easy to start taking the danger element of that job for granted. You get a little bit immune to it, perhaps. Until you see the door come open and the big tiger step out. And then you're reminded.
What in the world? Oh, man, I'm looking at this right now.
Oh, you saw it.
Oh, man. Oh, man. This guy's like opening doors to shield himself.
Yeah.
Like it's almost like a screen, like a mesh door. Not mesh, but you know what I'm talking about. It's a see-through door. Oh, man, that's unbelievable. Text from the 864 says, come on, Ben. It's a cat that wants the back of its ear scratched. Yeah, Ben.
Your Tiger Mechanic said, did you see the bear chilling on the power pole? Where I didn't read it. But yeah, bear climbs all the way to the top of a power pole.
I understand trying to climb for a little while, but did you just get curious what was up there? I mean, that's a long way to climb for a bear. You know?
There was something up there the bear wanted.
Obviously. Man, I'm glad everybody's okay. Really glad everybody's okay. Appreciate the kind words about Tom Allen. Tom Allen's great, isn't he? I mean, he's just great.
He really is.
Likes his defense. Tomorrow we're going to hear from Ben Bulware, who also likes his linebackers.
Allen is jacked up all the time, but he's also down to earth at the same time. I mean, he's there's that transparent, honest part of him. You know, not everything's great. He told us halfway through the season last year, not everything's great. We got to be faster. We got to have guys that are hungry. You know, we knew this, but it's just refreshing when you hear coaches say that.
You know, I asked him about specs, and I thought his answer was very interesting. I think it's interesting. You know, the outside world thinks.
Oh, the bear died.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah, a couple texts saying it was electrocuted. I didn't see that part.
Oh,
I
no.
did wonder, you what? Know, they normally tranquilize a bear, an animal like that, and they'll try to catch it with a net. I've seen that before. But, that, I mean, the top of a power pole is way up there. I did wonder,
oh,
okay,
man.
How are you getting the old boy down?
That's really sad. Oh, R.I.P.
My wife would have climbed the pole and helped you down.
Not in the cat family, though. I think one of the exciting things, they are really bullish about their linebackers. The whole world is not. The whole world knows that Good. They were supposed to have Luke Farrelly. the whole world knows that they don't have enough linebackers, and Tom Allen listed multiple guys, and I'll go ahead and tease it out. Ben Bulware listed four. He listed four linebackers that are playable, and they both sort of referenced how they didn't feel great going past two last year at any point. He thinks that Ashton Hampton is going to grow up a lot. He thinks that Jaheim Lawson is going to grow up a lot based on their experiences from last year. And I can tell you this right now, he feels like he's got his types of guys on the defense in a way that I think we're very safe in saying he never felt that way last year.
With Ashton Hampton, I caught myself wondering if he had checked out a few times, maybe silently questioning the heart there. Everybody talked about Ashton Hampton when we were over, and you watch some of their videos, the workout videos and all. He's leading the way. You know, hopefully that's an indication that he's stepping into that leadership role and he's taking this football thing serious. And again, I don't know if he was. Maybe he was taking it serious all along or something else, but there were times that it looked like maybe he was not. You know, he checked out a little bit, and that's easy to do in a season that's not going your way. You hadn't seen anything but positive about Ashton Hampton.
That's right.
This year.
That's right. The way that everybody's talked about him, I think a big year is incoming for him. And you know what? I voted him all ACC because I thought the cornerback position was pretty good in the league last year. 2 years ago was excellent. This year, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it is great. And I think Ashton Hampton is one of the guys that really can emerge as one of the, you know, one of the best corners, if not the best cornerback in the ACC.
A couple things we got to do tomorrow. One, we're going to have to help you with your viewing choices on long airline flights.
Oh, we got to do that.
Got to do that.
I've never been on a flight longer than 5 hours.
How long does it take to get to Italy, do you know? Longer than 5 hours.
Longer than five. It's like 10 hours and something.
The other thing is you people need to come see Out of Bounds at Scent Hound tomorrow in Clemson, noon to 3. Going to have some pizza for you. We're going to have just a good time. And that is in the Publix shopping center there on 123. So, you know, hadn't been out on remote in a while. Hope you stop by and see us. We'd love to. Quack will kiss your baby and shake your hand.
You're doggone right, in some order.
Can we get Quack washing a dog tomorrow? That is the question.
Probably. I don't mind it. Now, you know, I might need to put some specs on size of dog, okay?
Yeah.
Because washing a big dog, you can get a little, you know, around the equipment, folks, around the equipment. 9 hours, 35 minutes on the flight time, by the way.
Ooh.
Can I watch an entire season of...
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. I can watch an entire season of a set. Now, I'm not. Like, I sleep on planes fine. That type of... I'm not going to sleep the whole way.
We may have to talk about this tomorrow. We talked about news radio.
Uh-huh.
The sitcom back in the... What was that? I guess that was in the mid-90s. I just finished it. There is... Oh, I can't believe I forgot about this. Folks will recall Roger Buchanan and how Roger Buchanan came about. Roger Buchanan was one of my many aliases with Columbia House and all the music services. There's an entire episode where one of the girls on there, they come looking for. They're not looking for her. They're looking for 11 different people. They're all her. Because of doing the same thing, and she's got CDs in all of the cabinets in the... Oh, it's fantastic. I could hear you laughing out loud when I watched that episode the other night.
What season is it on?
It's one of the final episodes. Okay. It's about 4 or 5 from the end.
Can I tell you something? Ben put me on this show, folks. News Radio. I've never
old
seen
one.
It. Old. Pluto took down the first 2 seasons. I can't watch season 2.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I got to wait on to come back. I was devastated. I was going to sit down with my wife and we were going to watch some. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why is it taking me to season 3? Why are we doing this?